Your Bibles, our final chapter, 1 Peter, and tonight's passage is not about suffering, but later we'll be looking at suffering in verse 10. Tonight's passage is more of a teaching passage rather than a preaching passage, but it will be a blessing because you're going to learn some great truths tonight about the elder. So starting in verse 1, the Bible says, "The elders which are among you I exhort, who am also an elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, and also partaker of the glory that shall be revealed. Feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind, neither as being lords over God's heritage, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd shall appear, ye shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away." So tonight we're talking about an elder. Lord, I pray you'd give us your wisdom, your presence, and Lord, your blessings upon our hearts as we look into your word this evening. I pray, Lord, that even though it's more of a teaching and learning time, that you'd still use the word powerfully to grow us. So we thank you for this opportunity and give it to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. This is a great example of the power of expository preaching. Because when you choose to preach through a book, it forces you to preach things you normally wouldn't want to preach. I mean, what pastor wants to preach on the pastor? Talk about all of his flaws. But that's how it works. When you go through a book, you have to preach it all. And this passage is a great passage because it summarizes for us the three primary responsibilities of an elder or a pastor. And we're going to talk about the different titles tonight. But it's interesting that Peter, when he was talking to Jesus Christ at the seashore, and Jesus was challenging him on his love, remember? He only asked him to do one thing each time, and that was feed my sheep and feed my lambs. And now we get to 1 Peter chapter 5, written by Peter. And he's talking about the responsibilities of an elder, and what's the first thing he tells elders? Feed the flock. So it sounds like Peter got it. But before we dive into that, this word elder, there's three primary titles for a pastor in the New Testament, and one of them is elder. And the Greek word is presbyteros, from where we get the word Presbyterian. And it's talking about like a board of elders. And the other title for a pastor is bishop. And you find that title, James has already had all this stuff in the doctrine class, in the local church class as well. But you find that title in Titus and Acts chapter 20, that word bishop. It also is translated other places, overseer. You see there in verse 2, it says taking the oversight thereof. And the Greek word there is episkopos, from where we get the word Episcopalian, which I don't think that we have Episcopalian churches in New Zealand, but they do in America. It's kind of like the American version of the Anglican Church, basically. And then the third title is this word pastor or shepherd, which is the Greek word poimen, which means shepherd. The word pastor means shepherd. Now, even though we typically use the title pastor in independent Baptist churches, it's only in the Bible. How many times, James, you remember? Don't remember? It's in Ephesians chapter 4. That's the only place. The word is typically translated shepherd, but it means the same thing. You know, you see a field with sheep on it, people can say that's a pastoral setting. Pastoral shepherd, same thing. So those are the three primary titles, elder, bishop, and pastor. And you'll find that the three primary titles tie in with the three primary responsibilities perfectly, which is not a surprise. So what are the primary responsibilities of a pastor? Number one, feed the flock. Feed the flock. And that ties in, of course, with the title of pastor or shepherd. God here is referring to the local church as a flock of sheep. all we like sheep have gone astray. And God likens us to sheep many times in the scriptures. But his number one desire for pastors, if you go to Acts chapter 20, is that they feed God's people. Now, the problem comes in where a lot of pastors don't understand what they're supposed to be feeding the people, and that is the Word of God. They think that maybe they should give a lot of illustrations or tell a lot of stories, but that's not food. Our food is the Word of God. And notice Paul says here in Acts chapter 20, he's talking to the elders at Ephesus. He's saying farewell to the pastors at Ephesus. And notice what he says to them, verse 27, I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God. So Paul said, I have done my best to feed you the Word of God. And it is a pastor's responsibility to feed the flock. Remember, that's what he told Peter three times at the seashore. Feed the sheep, feed the lambs. Feed my sheep, feed my lambs. And you go to the pastoral epistles, and what does God tell, or what does Paul tell Timothy? Preach the word. In Titus 1:9, a bishop is to be holding fast the faithful word. So the number one responsibility of a pastor is to feed the flock. One more verse on this, 1 Timothy 5:17. If you would turn there. Why? Because the Word of God is powerful. Amen? It's powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword and can pierce to the dividing of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. The Word of God has the power to change our lives. So the Bible says faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Pastors are to feed the flock of God, the Word of God, and the Holy Spirit takes it and grows us. That's the plan, and it works. It's worked for 2,000 years. 1 Timothy 5:17, let the elders that rule well be counted worthy of double honor, especially they who labor in the word and doctrine. So notice he's talking about laboring in the word, laboring in doctrine. That is a pastor's primary responsibility, is to labor in the word so he can feed God's people God's word. And that's number one. And that ties in with the title of pastor or shepherd. The second primary responsibility in verse 2 of 1 Peter 5 is to lead the flock. Notice he says, take the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind, neither as being lords over God's heritage. So lead the flock, but not as a lord. In other words, not I'm the boss and you're going to do what I say, but lead by example. Lead with a vision. Know where God's taking the church and take the people with you. And this ties in well with the title of bishop, which is translated bishop or overseer. Same title. It means a leader or an overseer. And God talks about 1 Timothy 5. He says, how shall he take care of the church of God? We just read that 1 Timothy 5:17. Let the elders that rule well. So we've got that word rule there. And if you would look at Hebrews 13, the Bible makes it very clear that the pastor is to lead his flock. So he's to feed his flock and he's to lead his flock. Lead them to serve God. Lead them to make a difference in the community. Lead them to be a biblical local church. But notice here in Hebrews 13, verse 17, very important verse on this. Obey them that have the rule over you and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls as they that must give account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief, for that is unprofitable for you. Two important phrases in there in what we're talking about, that word rule over you and submit yourselves. So God wants the local church to be submissive to their pastor. But what's really important is that phrase, give account. That's pretty heavy. That a pastor is going to give account for his pastoring. Which leads us down to verse 4 of our passage. It says, when the chief shepherd shall appear, you shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. This is often referred to as the shepherd's crown or the elder's crown. You know, there's only a few crowns mentioned specifically in the Bible, but this one is kind of different because it looks like it's a crown reserved for the elders, for the pastors. But only those who have been the kind of pastors they should have been, because they're going to give account for how well they fed and took care of their flock. And that's huge. So the elder or the pastor or the bishop is to, number one, feed the flock as a pastor. Number two, he is to lead the flock as a bishop or an overseer. And then number three, it was in verse 3 of our passage, 1 Peter 5, and that is be an example to the flock. Notice he says as being examples to who? The flock. So those are his three primary responsibilities. And of course, that one ties in with the title of elder. Elder implies experience. Elder implies maturity. And so he is to feed them, lead them, and be an example to them. And God gives the qualifications of a pastor or bishop or an elder in two primary places. Of course, 1 Timothy 3, Titus chapter 1. But go to Titus chapter 2, if you would. And God uses an interesting phrase here. Titus chapter 2, verse 7. Now, who is Paul speaking to primarily? He's speaking to a pastor. That's why 1 Timothy, 2 Timothy, and Titus are referred to as the pastoral epistles. Because Paul is writing to men that he put in place over the churches that he was planting. And then he was writing to them to give them advice on how to be the right kind of pastor. If you look at the end of the book of Titus, some Bibles have the footnotes and some don't. Now, these are in the manuscripts, but they're not considered scripture per se. They're footnotes. Now, mine has it, and it says, it was written to Titus, ordained the first bishop of the Church of the Cretans from Nicopolis of Macedonia. Now, if your Bible doesn't have that, don't worry about it. It's not the end of the world. But Paul wrote it to Titus, who was a bishop. And you'll see the same thing at the end of 2 Timothy, that he was the bishop at Ephesus. Now, back to chapter 2, verse 7, in all things showing thyself a pattern of good works. So there it is again, Titus 2, 7. Paul is telling Titus, as the pastor of that church at Crete, you need to be an example. You need to put forth a pattern of good works. He says later in the verse, in doctrine showing uncorruptness, gravity, sincerity, sound speech that cannot be condemned, that he that is of the contrary part may be ashamed, having no evil thing to say of you. Again, talking about being an example. So Peter, in his next to last epistle, wrote to the elders. And did you notice he said there in verse 1, who am also an elder? So he's saying, I'm an elder and I'm writing you elders. I'm giving you some advice here in these four verses. To be a good elder, to be a good pastor, to be a good bishop, you need to feed your flock, you need to lead your flock, and you need to be an example to your flock. And I like how he finishes the passage in verse 4. When the chief shepherd, so Jesus Christ is the pastor of all the churches. And that is who we should be, number one, obeying. He is the chief shepherd. Pastors of local churches are simply under-shepherds, if you will. They're to be following Jesus. They're to be leading people to Jesus, the chief shepherd. The Bible says, when he shall appear, the chief shepherd, ye shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. And so by doing this, Peter shows us that shepherd and elder are pretty much the same thing. Because he starts off by saying, I'm writing to you elders, but then he says, but when the chief shepherd shall appear, you elders shall receive a crown of glory. So it's a beautiful passage of scripture, this outline that Peter gave on the elder. As the pastor and shepherd, he is to feed the flock. As the bishop, overseer, he is to lead the flock. And as the elder, he is to be an example to the flock. Right, James? Is that pretty consistent? He's already had it in two different classes. But it's just a fantastic passage. So thank the Lord for it. And thank the Lord for His plan, the way He set things up. You know, you'll meet people all the time in the world talking about, oh, I don't need to go to church. I can worship God on the mountaintop. And I always say, that's true. You can worship God on the mountaintop. But I always say the same thing. The church was God's idea. God set it up. God set up this system that we have. He's the one that said, I want you to assemble regularly and I want you to have pastors. That was God's idea, God's plan. And praise God for it. And what a blessing to see this simple and yet profound outline from Peter written to these elders here.